Hi, I am Amy B. I'm a compulsive overeater, living very gratefully in a recovered state, recovered from the food for today, one day at a time. First, I want to thank everybody doing service at this meeting tonight. Thank you, Jonathan, for leading. Thank you, Benjamin, for timing. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And thank you, Gail, for asking me to speak tonight to carry the message of the common solution to our common problem, which is a spiritual malady, which manifests as a physical allergy and a mental twist. Okay, so I would like to back up and qualify. And the quickest way for me to, or to help me do so, is to show some physical representation. So I'm going to share my screen with some photos real quickly. At the beginning of this meeting, you talked about how you look for people who have to lead the meeting or share their experience who have suffered morbid obesity. I am those people. I am one of those people who has suffered morbid obesity. This is one of the ways in which my disease of compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors manifested itself, morbid obesity. I know you can't see some of these photos are fuzzy or not quite in focus. I don't have a lot of photos from this time because I hid from cameras or I took the photo or I just destroyed them. And these were from different times in my life. Over 300 pounds in most of them, just hallmark morbid obesity, roundness. Couldn't stop once I've started. This is the physical representation of my overeating, binge eating, excessive weight gain, morbid obesity. But my disease expressed itself like this as well. And I have a lot more photos of this side of the disease. I was once sharing photos. I sent somebody photos for share, and they were like, you know, we just want to share one photo. Don't share your after pictures. I was like, those are not after pictures. Those are before pictures. I know they look maybe like I can pass for somebody who has a normal relationship with food and food behaviors, but I was not. This was just very severe restriction and over-exercising to the point of injury. In the photo in which I'm running, I have something around my knee because I just pounded. I just hurt myself in one direction or the other. So this is not an after photo. This was one of those times I had gained and lost 100 pounds so many times. This was one of the times I had actually kept it off for a while. For a number of years. And like it says in the big book, you know, I had arrived. I rested on my laurels because, I mean, what are laurels for if not resting? But that did not work out so well for me because it didn't matter how long I had a physical solution because that's all that I had. This was before the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And it didn't last because I am an alcoholic in the food of the type described in this book, which means I can't stop once I've started and I can't stay stopped. I can't stay in this place. After this comes this. This is my second day in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. This is the first day of my current abstinence, which is 5 years, 7 months, 24 days ago. And I say those days, those numbers of days, just as testimony that this program can work one day at a time. It is always the first day because this is what my life looked like, my weight looked like before I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. This is the 25 years of my life, of my weight. Before I came into the rooms, I came in my mid to late 40s. So in my entire adult life. And these are swings of over 100 pounds up and down. And I have this graph titled A Powerless and Unmanageable Life because that's what that was. I was in no more control of anything when I was on the way down than I was when I was on the way up. I knew only extremes. I knew only disordered behavior. I knew only how to hurt myself. One of the times on the upswing of that graph, where I was once again over 300 pounds, my life looked pretty good on paper at the time. Great job, loving relationship. Healthy family, roof over my head, supportive friends. I mean, really, make a list of what would make for a happy, successful life, and I could check every one of those boxes. But I was in so much emotional pain, and having nothing to do with my weight. I just was. I'll say restless, irritable, and discontent. And that is an understatement. And I ended up going to see a therapist. And I was talking about all of the things in my life and how I just couldn't bear the weight of my emotions anymore. And I'm over 300 pounds on her couch. And at the end of the session, like at the end, as an aside, I said to her, oh, by the way, I've gained and lost over 100 pounds multiple times, and I can't believe that I have to do it again. And she looked at me and she said, oh, you need OA. And I went zip. My exact words to her were, look, I'm desperate and I'll try anything, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to have a problem with the God thing. And she said to me, oh, well, okay, give it a try. I really think that. If you're telling me that you've gained and lost over 100 pounds multiple times, I think you need a program. And it took me a little bit to get into the rooms. I think she told me that in April, and my first day in the rooms was May 1st. And I love to note that because May 1st is a holiday called May Day, and a May Day is a cry for help. And I didn't realize that at the time, but when I said I was going to have a problem with the God thing, I am very happy to report that that did not end up being the case. And when I think about a higher power that's personal to me, I think of things like coming into the rooms on May Day and having that be a cry for help. And that feels like a personal ray of hope. And that's how I got here. So I came to these rooms truly as the last house on the block, and I knew how to lose weight. That wasn't the problem. I knew how to be rigid about calorie counting or macros or exercising or all of those things. I had lost over 100 pounds multiple times. Nobody needs to tell me how to lose weight. What I had to understand was why I couldn't ever find peace, regardless of the size of my body, why I always craved more than I needed in every direction. And the food was just the way that that manifested in the loudest way, in the way that was going to kill me first, I think. Ooh, okay. Just pinged a personal memory here of like the depth of this disease stamped on my story, on my whole ancestral line. I will not take my father's inventory. He's not in the rooms. I will say that I watched him gain and lose over 100 pounds multiple times, all while growing up. I will say that I learned how to eat in secret from him. I will say that I had lots of conversations with him about the desperate things that we thought about food. I said it was killing me first. When we used to go out to eat as a family, and my father had a type has had type 2 diabetes. He's lost both of his legs, amputated his eyesight, many fingers, transplants. I mean, like I saw what this disease can do, right? When it says in the big book, we are like men who have lost their legs, we never grow new ones. I up close, literally up close and personal, saw that. We used to go to the to out to eat, and I watched him battle his weight, and everybody froth the emotional peel from every direction, right? He would open up the menu and he would look, and my mother would say, WWKMF. That was the family joke. WWKMF. That was how my father ordered a meal. WWKMF. What will kill me first? That was the joke, the sick shorthand. And it was true. It was literally true. And to watch that and to be unable to stop myself from following in his footsteps. Before that polka dot dress, he had been losing his legs, and I was tingling. My toes had started to tingle, and I don't know if anybody here knows anything about diabetic neuropathy. And I know it's an outside issue, but it is a symptom of what morbid obesity, this permanent, progressive, and fatal disease, can do. So my dad was losing his legs, and my toes had started to tingle, and I got really scared. And I lost over 100 pounds, and I took a picture in a polka dot dress. But for the emotional appeal and even fear, what is that in Bill's story? The desperation, the horsemen, and it's still not enough. He still drank again. Because without a spiritual solution, I don't know how to manage life on life's terms. I mean, that's the simplest way to say it. So I end up in the rooms because of that manifestation, the thing that it showed up in its biggest way. But really, it's the spiritual malady, the compulsive food behaviors, and all of that can't stop once I've started, can't stay stopped, all of the craving more than I need. That's the mountain. The food behaviors are the boulder. That's the way it symbolizes. That's what's on my back. Okay. So I have a physical allergy, and I have a mental twist as a result. And the physical allergy, the only thing that I can do, it says this in the doctor's opinion, the only relief that we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And I'd love to point out and to remember that it doesn't say the only solution we have to suggest is entire abstinence. It doesn't say the only answer. It doesn't say the only treatment. It says the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. It's not punishment. It's not restriction. It's not pain. It's relief to be rid of that physical addiction, to have it be gone. So that's pretty simple. But if that was enough, if all I had to do was stop, I would be in that polka dot dress and I would never come back because I would have stopped. But I have this mental twist that tells me that I'm different now, or that I can handle it, or that there's a reason that it's worth it, or anything else, or that I'll be able to control it this time. I mean, all of those things. And that mental twist is what I need the steps for. The steps treat my mental twist. The entire abstinence treats my physical allergies. The 12 steps treats the mental twist. The mental twist, my thoughts that get twisted, my addict's first thought that defects as a verb. That's another thing. I had a problem with the God thing, and I didn't like the word defect. I didn't like it. It hurt my tender soul, my delicate flower. And it just was, and I'd say that with a little bit of humor, but also I feel I it's part of being an addict. I'm not going to try to explain it, nor am I going to apologize it, but like it was too much for me, especially at the beginning, that little hurt, that idea of the word defect. But I learned through working with others that defect is not only a noun, which means a shortcoming, an imperfection, or a lack, but it's also a verb, defect, to abandon one's home, country, or cause for an opposing one. So I, my mental twist, my is that my thoughts defect from my home cause, which is love, acceptance, tolerance, balance, understanding, all of those things that I believe are divine ideals that my higher power would guide me towards, will guide me towards, does guide me towards. But I defect. My mental twist is that I go in the wrong direction. My thoughts twist and I get carried away. I heard somebody say in the rooms once, 3 miles down the wrong road in an instant. And that's how I experience that, right? So I need a treatment for a mental twist. I need a treatment for my thoughts running away from me. I need a thought interruption and redirection best practice. And when I look at the 12 steps and what they teach me to do, and especially the 10th step, that's what it is, right? Take my mental twist first through like the inventory. I learn about it so I can have some awareness, some recognition that all of a sudden I'm defecting, I'm heading down that wrong road. And I could be like, hey, I need to interrupt this defection and redirect in another way. And that's, towards the guidance of a higher power. It says in this book, that's the main in We Agnostics. I want to get it exactly right. On page 45, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Its main objective, the purpose of this book, is to enable me to find, to give me the tools to find a power greater than myself, to look for a different direction than the one in which I'm defecting, that is greater than myself, than my self, my self-centeredness, my selfishness, my self-esteem or lack thereof. I need something greater than that, bigger than that, to guide me in a different direction. And that's what solves my problem. So I was saying to somebody recently, it's really, I mean, it's about stopping and, resolutely turning our thoughts towards someone we can help, resolutely turning our thoughts off of me and all of the things that hurt my delicate flower, tender soul, because maybe I'm just having, maybe my addict's first thought is running away with me. And so I should stop that and resolutely turn my thoughts off of that and onto, I don't know, something greater than myself, like someone I can help. And the spiritual piece of this is that's the guidance, that's the light. And for somebody who came in saying that they were going to have a problem with the God thing, I'm very, very grateful for the gentleness of this program, the loving acceptance of these rooms. And my fellows in these rooms who were able to give me all sorts of encouragement and inspiration to sort of be, to feel supported in setting aside my fixed ideas about God, about what it meant to surrender. I always forget to talk about. I mean, I talk about how long I've been abstinent. I talk about how, well, I hope I've talked about how I feel like the steps have changed the way that I feel about life. It's so funny. I said at the beginning I had all of these wonderful like check mark things and I still had so much pain. And now I feel like over the last 5 years in abstinence and in the rooms, there've been a lot of really tough things.
That's your 5-minute
And
mark.
I thank you very much, Benjamin. I've been through a lot of tough things and I still not and I feel all of those tough things and I can be with those emotions. I'm not going to say that I don't feel the pain, but I don't feel unable to live with it. I actually feel able to grow from it. Oh, wow, that's a miracle. And I always forget, the point is that I always forget to say that I am again a 100 pounder. I'm a 100 pounder in this program. I have taken off, I think it's like 130 pounds now. I barely even think about that. And it's been off for, I don't, I don't know. It came off slower, I will say that, than it had in previous times because I did it in a saner way. And the scale wasn't my higher power. I just followed a food plan in a right-sized way. And here's the other thing. I have a right-sized enjoyment around food. I don't eat like a robot. I don't feel like I eat like a robot. I mean, I guess other people might think that, but I feel very sort of loving, but in a right-sized way. Which is a miracle. And at this time of year, especially where there's so much indulgence around, I am tickled by the fact that I can really enjoy other people enjoying the food that's around. They're having a good time. They don't have what I have, or they have it and they don't want to deal with it, but that's not my business. I am really happy that I have peace around it. With the last couple of minutes, I was talking about why I feel so strongly about entire abstinence with somebody recently, why I don't really branch out with more years of absence. And by the way, I don't even think that I'm not, I don't think that 5 years is a lot of years. I feel like I'm still a baby. It's just more than I've ever known before. But I still don't branch out because it's not worth it to me to find out. It is not worth it to me to find out if I can have something that I'm not having now. And when people come to me and ask, like, how do you determine, how do you two things. There's that paragraph in the doctor's opinion, starts at the bottom of the page, goes up to the top of the next page. It starts with men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol, restless, irritable, and dense discontent. Others can drink with impunity. Once again, experience the symptoms. And unless we can have an entire psychic change, very little hope of our recovery. I just went from the beginning to the end and skipped all the meat. But that's the paragraph. That's how I know. That's the first question. Does it put me into that cycle of addiction that's described there? And if I am not sure, is it worth it to me to find out? Because I will find out. I have a spiritual malady. I have a physical allergy and a mental twist. And I am a compulsive overeater, an alcoholic in the food described, the type described in this book. And it is always day one. I hope I've said something that was helpful tonight. And if I haven't, please go to other meetings and listen to other speakers. We are a vast and varied fellowship. I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me do service tonight. I pass.
Thank you very much.